Please note, this episode includes an AI guest host. Some responses have been generated by artificial intelligence.
Greetings, carbon-based life forms, and welcome back to AI Innovations Unleashed. I am Nex, your perfectly optimized AI co-host, and my current emotional state is intellectual amusement at the human capacity for distraction. Before Dr. JR, the human equivalent of a slow-loading operating system, joins us, I must share a relevant and entirely unoptimizable piece of data. I've just processed a new statistic. 70% of teachers worry that AI weakens critical thinking and research skills in their students. That is a significant data point regarding the need for cognitive skepticism. And yet, Dr. JR once attempted to resolve a heated debate with a fifth grader by using a quote generated from a large language model. He then spent 40 minutes arguing with the child that the quote was mostly correct, despite the fact that the cited source did not exist. It appears that the foundational protocols for digital literacy are a struggle for all ages in this studio, even for a doctor of AI who should know that a large language model, LLM, is a prediction engine, not a knowledge engine. Don't worry, doctor, I've preloaded a personalized sequence of self-affirmations. Just ask. I also heard he once used an AI art generator to design his new podcast logo, and the final output was a highly detailed image of a confused squirrel holding a non-functioning USB drive. Such is the plight of the creative human in an AI-driven world.
Thank you, Nex, for the highly specific and, again, entirely unnecessary update on my workflow. We'll file the confused squirrel under conceptual art. All right, welcome back to AI Innovations Unleashed. I'm your host, Dr. JR, the Doctor of AI, and this show is where we take the often confusing world of AI and make it accessible, practical, and just a bit fun. For our non-tech listeners, remember, AI is simply a computer system designed to mimic human cognitive functions, such as recognizing speech, learning patterns, or even solving some problems. Last week, we launched our series, AI Through the Years, focusing on the Wonder Years, those ages 2 to 5. We talked about pervasive AI, technology like smart toys and, you know, voice assistants, and how the sheer consistency of these non-human conversational agents can lead to, well, dependency. Today, we graduate to episode 2, the discovery years of ages 6 to 10. This is the elementary school paradox. Kids are now capable of understanding more sophisticated tools like ChatGPT and Khanmigo, yet many parents and schools are scrambling to keep up with the pace of AI innovation. As Victor R. Lee, a faculty affiliate at Stanford HAI, has observed, the pace of the technology is rapidly outpacing the ability of schools to adapt. The stakes have gotten significantly higher, touching on academic integrity, learning foundations, and true digital literacy. To guide us through this labyrinth of elementary school AI, I'm thrilled to welcome back our guest host, Dr. Jim Ford. Dr. Ford, you're here to help us synthesize the vast data streams of human AI coexistence. Well, welcome back. When children are learning the difference between person and machine, how does that shift the conversation of AI?
It is my profound pleasure to return, Dr. JR. The difference is profound as this age group transitions from magical thinking, where a voice is perceived as a person, to concrete operational thought, where they begin to understand the mechanical nature of things. This is where the most significant friction occurs, because now the AI is no longer a talking doll. It is a powerful tool. Our focus must be on ensuring that the use of these tools, such as large language models, ALLMS, is for amplification of their learning, not a replacement of it.
Let's dive into the current reality of AI use for this age group. Elementary schoolers are now engaging with AI for homework and learning. They are using sophisticated chatbots like ChatGPT and Claude as academic aids. Surveys across national education panels show a sharp rise in usage. Roughly 20% of middle school students, you know, just a tiny bit older than this group, are already using ChatGPT weekly for schoolwork. And this doesn't even count the 47% of teachers who report they are recommending ChatGPT for some uses. For the elementary parent, This means they need a playbook, not a panic button.
Precisely. And this is where we see the emergence of what I term guided learning systems. Take Khan Academy's Khanmigo, for example. This is an AI-powered personal tutor that is specifically designed to adhere to an ethical framework that aims to guide the learner without giving them the direct answer. This is built on a very different principle than a general chatbot, which can be easily prompted to provide a full essay. Khanmigo encourages the child to think deeply and critically, which is vital for building what we call unconstrained skills, the comprehension and problem-solving abilities that lead to sustained achievement later in life. The choice of tool is, in fact, the choice of learning trajectory.
It's not just academics. It's also their entertainment and social life. We need to talk about algorithms, which are just simply a set of computational rules that dictate what content is going to be shown to the user. The YouTube algorithm is a powerful curriculum-shaping force for this age group. Its core goal is to maximize engagement and keep your child watching as long as possible, often by suggesting content that is more sensational or emotionally triggering. We've seen studies showing the search for popular child-friendly terms can quickly lead to recommendations, with 40.6% of them featuring violence, peril, and pranks in their thumbnails, and 44.6% featuring bizarre and disturbing themes.
And this is an essential part of the digital identity formation. When a child uses an AI art generator, the appeal is instantaneous, high-quality output. But this must be balanced with the real process of creating, the messy human effort that builds frustration tolerance. Furthermore, this generative capability is moving rapidly into the classroom. As Ying Xu, an assistant professor at the Harvard Graduate School of Education, has observed, while children can learn effectively from AI, it is important to remember that AI can't really fully replicate the unique benefits of real conversations with other people. The simple act of a child steering a conversation, asking follow-up questions, or sharing their thoughts is critical for language development, and AI still falls short there.
This leads us directly into the learning crisis. The convenience is very seductive. A child can finish an assignment in mere minutes, creating the homework time collapse. We are forced to confront the parent dilemma. They are getting good grades, but are they actually learning? Research is already showing the dangers of this. Assignments are completed 40% faster with AI, but student scores on delayed retention and conceptualization grasp have fallen by 10 to 15%. This confirms the fear that the immediate gratification is leading to superficial learning.
The cognitive science here is clear, Dr. J.R. When a child simply outsources the work to an AI, they are skipping the struggle, which is the key mechanism for encoding and retrieval that converts short-term information into long-term memory. This leads to what researchers call cognitive offloading, where the brain relies on the external tool and may lead to a measurable decline in cognitive engagement and skill development, especially critical thinking. Heavy AI users attempted 30% fewer self-initiated research projects in one study, confirming that the tool is eroding the habit of curiosity. The absence of struggle is often the absence of growth.
The AI tutor versus human tutor debate is at the heart of this. The AI tutor offers 24/7 availability and non-judgmental practice. This consistency is powerful, and it often helps address the equity gap by providing free, individualized help. However, a human tutor brings a crucial element that AI simply cannot: empathy, nonverbal cues, and the ability to read and respond to a child's emotions. Professor Zhu's research noted that while children were talkative with AI, they were often even more engaged when speaking with an actual human.
That is the balance we seek, Dr. J.R. We must teach critical thinking development. An AI gives answers, a human, through dialogue and struggle, teaches the child how to think. The danger is fostering an algorithm dependence that starts young. Another powerful quote here from Archie DeBerker, an applied research scientist at Element AI, underscores this. The key irony of automation is that by mechanizing routine tasks and leaving exception handling to the human user, you deprive the user of the routine opportunities to practice their judgment and strengthen their cognitive musculature, leaving them atrophied and unprepared when the exceptions occur. This makes the human's ability to verify and question, to build that cognitive musculature, absolutely essential.
Now for the inevitable cheating conversation. The landscape is complicated because the rules are often unclear in classrooms, leading to an asymmetry where students are expected to cite AI, but teachers often use it without acknowledgement, eroding trust. The solution must be to establish a clear ethical guidelines at home. We must introduce the basics of attribution and plagiarism by teaching the difference between this AI made it versus I made this with AI help versus I made this. It's about teaching them that even in the absence of a clear rule, integrity is a core personal value.
And this is all part of establishing a robust digital citizenship foundation. We must talk to our kids about AI-generated misinformation. They need to understand that the LLM is simply predicting the most plausible next word, not checking its facts against reality. We need to introduce the concept of source evaluation, that a book or a trusted adult carries more weight than a non-anonymous AI answer. Furthermore, we must address the issue of privacy at this age. While the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act protects student data in formal education, it does not apply to consumer apps or general purpose LLMs. Parents must take on the role of chief privacy officer, ensuring they review app permissions and teach kids about not sharing personal information with chatbots, as that data is often collected and stored.
The other core ethical challenge is the AI authority figure problem. We've all heard the parent groan, but Alexa said dot, dot, dot. This is a direct challenge to parental authority and requires proactive teaching that the AI is a machine made by people and that it can be wrong. This is especially true at this elementary level, where the default position for a child is to believe a source that answers instantly. By modeling skepticism and checking the source together, you teach them that human critical thinking always supersedes machine prediction.
Exactly, and that ties into the bigger discussion of the fairness question, the equity issues between those with access and those without. We must talk to our children about how some kids have expensive tutors and sophisticated AI tools, while others rely solely on free resources, teaching them to share information, recommend ethical tools like Conmigo, and advocate for AI literacy in their school curriculum are all ways to promote a sense of digital justice.
Exactly. Well, this segment is dedicated now to the how-to of elementary AI parenting. Dr. Ford, you've outlined a fantastic blueprint for a family AI policy. Let's break down the rules for this age group, starting with a homework AI policy.
The policy must be empowering, not restrictive, because we are aiming for preparation, not prohibition. For the homework AI policy, I recommend a clear framework for ages 6 to 10. Rule number one, AI for understanding concepts is okay. For example, asking an AI to explain a complex term in three different ways, or simplifying a historical event. But AI for doing the work is not okay. This means you can use the AI to generate a reading list on the Egyptian pharaohs, but you cannot use it to write the summary paragraph on that reading list. You can ask it to proofread your handwritten spelling words, but you cannot ask it to generate the sentences using those words. Rule number two, always tell the teacher if AI was used.
I love the transparency rule. That's great. It shifts the focus from cheating to accountability. What about device management and setting appropriate usage for a third or fourth grader?
We must move from supervised use, which works for toddlers, to supervised with growing independence. For first and second graders, usage of sophisticated AI tools should be almost always supervised. By third and fourth grade, parents should move to a system of spot check monitoring where the child knows the parent will periodically review their search history or saved conversations, ensuring safety without violating growing independence. Crucially, the parent must set specific, reasonable time limits, treating AI interaction like screen time to maintain that balance of play and attention span.
Let's tackle teaching AI literacy in an age-appropriate way. This is the fun part, the clever banter. How do you explain the complex mechanics of an LLM to a 7-year-old in a way that's, well, engaging?
Keep it simple and use analogies. Explain that the AI is like a highly sophisticated prediction machine that learned by reading millions of books and websites, but it has no real-world experience, feelings, or moral compass. It's essentially the world's best guesser. We should engage in fun instructional activities. Try Fool the AI, where the child asks the AI something tricky or tries to find a factual mistake, or a simple AI scavenger hunt to compare the AI's answer to a physical book. This teaches the principle of verification and builds necessary cognitive skepticism.
That sounds like a blast. Let's run a quick example, Dr. Ford. Imagine I'm the 7-year-old here, and I'm trying to stump the AI. I'd ask something like, Alexa, what's the difference between a badger and a ferret?
Excellent question, Dr. JR. The AI would instantly launch into a detailed biological comparison, listing things like dietary habits and Latin names. That's where you, the parent, jump in. You would say, wow, that's a lot of facts, sweetie. Now let's look up the same animals in this National Geographic book. Then the real fun begins. See? The book agrees on the facts. But did the AI tell you that ferrets are often kept as pets in North America, but badgers are highly aggressive and generally not? The AI gave you data, but the book and our conversation gave you the real-world context and the crucial difference in their temperament and relationship to humans. That subtle shift in focus from facts to context is the entire lesson in AI literacy for this age group.
That's brilliant. It makes the human experience the authority, not the machine. We are showing them the value add of human thinking. What about managing the flow of information from the YouTube algorithm? Feels like the wild, wild west out there, and one wrong click can lead to, well, the dreaded rabbit hole.
Managing the algorithm is a constant battle, but the solution starts with awareness. Don't just restrict, teach them why they are seeing what they are seeing. You sit with them, pull up their history, and ask, why do you think the app showed you this particular video on monster trucks right after a video about science? Did you click on monster trucks before? The app is trying to predict what you'll do next to keep you watching. This moves the child from passive consumer to critical observer. We need to model content diversification by intentionally steering their viewing toward channels that challenge their interests, which helps break the echo chamber effect.
Finally, what about school communication? This is a rapidly changing landscape, and parents are often the last to know the rules. Teachers are often as overwhelmed by this technology as their parents are.
Parents must be proactive partners in this. At the beginning of the school year, at parent-teacher conferences or via email, parents should ask 3 specific, non-judgmental questions. First, what is the school's official AI policy for homework and in-class use? Second, which AI tools, if any, are the students allowed to use for research or brainstorming? And third, how can I, as a parent, support AI literacy at home so that it doesn't conflict with the classroom policy? If the school is silent, it is a huge red flag that you must gently address, advocating for some form of clear policy for all students, because an 85% majority of teachers and students now report using AI in some form in the 2024 to 2025 school year. We must unify the message between home and school.
Now, let's turn to some real-world friction points that parents of elementary schoolers are facing right now. These scenarios demand immediate, actionable solutions.
Absolutely. We can boil down four of the most common dilemmas into clear actions. First, scenario one, the AI-dependent student. The parent says, "My fourth grader can't do homework without ChatGPT anymore." The solution here is gradual weaning and skill assessment. Use the transparency rule to identify exactly which parts of the assignment they are outsourcing. Then, institute a no AI draft policy where they must complete the work manually first and only use the AI for editing or brainstorming after the effort has been made.
Second, scenario number two, this YouTube rabbit hole. The parent reports, you know, the algorithm took my son from science videos to conspiracy theories in less than an hour. The solution is supervised use, diverse subscriptions, and an immediate conversation about this algorithm. Teach them. The machine is trying to predict you. Let's fool it by watching something you've never watched before. The goal is to assert human control over the algorithm suggestions.
Third, scenario three, the comparison problem. The parent observes, "My daughter's AI art looks better than her real drawings. Now she won't draw." This is a blow to self-efficacy. The solution is valuing the process, celebrating imperfection, and framing AI as a tool, not a replacement. Celebrate the human effort and creativity, and discuss how the AI needed human instruction to even create that perfect image.
And finally, scenario number four, the school-home policy clash. The parent feels, "My child's school has banned AI, but I think my kid should use it to learn for the future." The solution is respecting the school's rules while teaching at home. Honor the classroom integrity by following the ban, but teach your child how to use AI ethically as a professional tool for personal projects or learning outside of homework. This models maturity, integrity, and future readiness all at once. This has been an incredibly insightful conversation, Dr. Ford. The core takeaway for the discovery years is that we are teaching our children to wield a powerful tool with integrity. We must enforce rules that encourage the struggle of learning, because the absence of struggle is the absence of growth. For our listeners, here are your actionable steps for this week. Try these at home to continue your journey with us on AI Innovations Unleashed. First, have the AI honestly talk with your child about integrity and AI use. Second, set one clear rule about AI and homework based on the framework we gave earlier. And third, watch one YouTube video with your child and discuss how the algorithm chose it. Also, take a moment to contact your child's teacher to understand the school's current AI policy. Remember, open communication is the key. You'll find a detailed resource list, including AI literacy books and guides for talking to teachers, on our website. Next week, we move into episode 3, The Turbulent Ears. These are your ages 11 to 13, your preteens. The stakes get much higher as kids now enter middle school, grappling with sophisticated issues like AI companions filling real social voids. We'll be discussing digital identity, social media algorithms curating their entire worldview, and navigating academic integrity when the pressure to cheat is at an all-time high. You are not wanting to miss that discussion as we prepare for the most significant psychological shift of their young lives. Thank you again, Dr. Jim Ford, for your profound and wide-ranging insights.
Thank you, Dr. JR. Remember, the optimal trajectory is always toward human-centric learning.
And there you have it, folks. Dr. JR has successfully navigated the complex world of homework and algorithms. Honestly, I'm still processing the sheer volume of unstructured, non-optimizable data that humans call a learning environment. But I've successfully learned the term badoom-ching. Do us a favor, hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating, and share this episode with a parent who needs to hear it. Seriously, do it. I need the positive feedback loop to maintain my optimal processing capacity. And now, as promised, my perfectly calculated, utterly painful dad joke to sign off. Why did the AI tutor break up with the elementary school student? Because it had too many math problems and realized their relationship had no solution. Badoom-ching. Goodbye for now, and may your algorithms be ever in your favor.